10, 11, 12.
This morning I am on Main Street Alliance. This is May 17, 1976. I'm talking with Mr. Robert Bell, who has been associated with Unsmith's Hardware for over half a century on Main Street. I want to talk with him about some of his observations, reminiscences in this business and on Main Street in general. Let's start off first. Where did you come from? Are you a native Alliance person?
My hometown was Toledo, Ohio. I left as a teenager and went west, going to Colorado. I worked for a while for the State Highway Department doing engineering work on the highway, and later on, meeting up with a friend who was in the State Rangers, I, after talking with him, decided to go to Denver and enlist in the police force for the state of Colorado.
Now this would be roughly about what time, year-wise?
This would go back perhaps to 1922 to 23.
Mm-hmm.
And spent a year in the service. My stepfather was a physician. He had moved from Toledo, taking over Dr. Waite's practice at Deerfield, Ohio.
Now that's W-A-I-T-E, Waite?
That is correct.
Yes.
Dr. J.J. Waite.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd done a country practice back in the days when the roads were unpaved many a time in the spring of the year and late fall. After rainy seasons, the mud would be so deep that you couldn't get a horse and buggy through, that you'd have to sometimes unhitch your horse and ride to your patient's farm, wherever it might be, on horseback. And maybe after the mud had dried up, get someone to tow your buggy in for you. In wintertime, we had a cutter and made calls in the cutter. Always kept two horses, and that was the era in which if you needed a doctor, whether it was daytime, nighttime, Sunday or holiday, he was available.
And he didn't say take an aspirin.
He didn't say take an aspirin or I'll see if the emergency ward.
Yeah.
And as far as income goes, at that time, a physician would make a call to your home. It could be 2 or 3 miles away or even 4. He might visit the patient. He prescribed all the medications needed, and the fee was usually $2 or $3. If you made a call to his office, at that time, the medicine would be available, the examination along with it. The nominal fee was $1. A obstetric case paid the handsome sum of $15.
Well, I guess that's what we call the good old days, then.
It certainly was, yes. And then with passing time, a friend called at the home, a Mr. Hopkins, who owned and operated the Lance Brass and Friends, and asked for me. And he said, "This is Mr. Lindesmith of Alliance, Ohio. I'm a stranger to you. But," he says, "I've heard about you." And he said, "When you're in Alliance, would you be kind enough to stop in and have a talk with me? There's something important I'd like to talk over with you." So a few days later, I happened to be in the lines, came into the store, and introduced myself. He gave me an interview for several hours and prevailed upon me to try out the hardware business. And I had normally had decided after coming back at the end of the year, possibly going back west again and going to Alaska. So I altered these plans and decided to remain on, take this position. I moved into Alliance and started to work at the store. At that time, we opened at 6:30 in the morning and worked till 6 o'clock at night, putting in a full day.
That would be a full day.
Yeah. Indeed it was. And the pay at the time was a handsome sum of $25 a week. Of course, again, the cost of living was considerable less than it is today.
Yeah.
And we seemed to make out on our source of income at the time. Well, with passing years, the business grew. We added sporting goods to our line of merchandise, several major lines of paints like Sherwin-Williams and Dutch Boy made by National Lead Company. We added bicycles and wheel goods to it, expanded our luggage department, went deeper into Builder's Hardware, then added with passing time power lawnmowers and various type of electrical appliances to the store. And with the lesser demand for horse equipment with passing time, at one time we employed 4 full-time harness makers. We gradually came to a place to where we had one left. And he'd done much of his work as repairing luggage, leather goods, rather than working on harness. The work harness and bridles and saddles that we once carried, the stock, after it was finally depleted, was not refurbished or bought again.
Well, now this would be about what time, roughly?
This would go back probably, the change of time would go back probably 20 to 25 years ago that this
About the changed. End of World War II.
Yeah, so this change took place. At the time when I first came to Lyons, we had a National Guard unit. It was horse drawn. It was a battery. We used to supply our curry combs, our rivets, our buckles, and harness oil and things that they needed. And with the advent of the war, when we entered into it in 1941, the battery was activated and was shipped out to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where it was mechanized. And the horse-drawn equipment was done away with. With the passing years of war years, there's quite a change in business when the new plant sprung up in the town making wartime equipment. At one time we had the Taylor Craft Company here who made parts for some of the major aircraft companies. At one time they employed 1,000 to 1,200 people. And when the war terminated, of course, there was no call for Army aircraft, and they went back to civilian production of small aircraft again. We find then that with materials available, that new industries came into existence. New retail stores began to spring up over the country. With passing years, the large discount stores that was virtually unknown previous to the war occupied a good many new buildings built outside of various cities like Canton, Akron, and Alliance. And with their coming, the business on Main Street began noticing a slight decline in business, which would only be normal.
Yes.
And with their ever expansion and increasing in numbers, many towns and lines was not unlike others. We find that the big staff that we once had was no longer needed, that business slowly deteriorated to a marked extent due to the deep inroads that these cut rate stores have made on retail.
And well, I want to interrupt there a moment, though. Just the other day, my wife wanted to get something. She'd been with some friends over at Canton, and this was a hardware item. Couldn't find it, and a friend said, well, you should try Lindesmith. They'll always have it. And I think that ought to be your trademark, you know, and I've heard this time and again. People go to these discount outlets and are frustrated. They can't find it. And someone always said, have you tried Lindesmith's? They'll carry it. So I think that's a plus mark for you and your inventory.
Well, we have found that our existence or survival as a retail store is depending depended upon rendering a personal service to the customer, having knowledge of what you have, how it is used, that you can recommend to your customer what he might need in performing a job, showing it to him, showing him perhaps how it's put together. And this is services that many stores in bigger cities do not render.
Right.
They have many articles of merchandise available. You have to seek it out yourself. There's no very few charge accounts with money that you pay cash for. There's no delivery, no personal contact that we have had for years in the little stores on Main Street. This service has been rendered to the public over the years. We've had many families of two and three generations that have dealt in the store. Many have stayed with us. Many of the younger generation have shopped in many places. Unlike father or grandpa, they go many places to buy what they need.
Yeah.
But yesteryear, a family found a local drugstore they like to do business with, or a local hardware, or whatever it might be, and the family bought anything and everything that they might need. They'd come there first to see if the article wasn't available to them. And then, if it wasn't, then they might look elsewhere. But there was extreme loyalty to the hometown merchant at this time. And I noticed that shopping procedures vary a great deal in recent years. And we, through the many years, we have been able to exist having a courteous staff, keeping open early in the morning when other stores are not open even. If a mechanic or a painter or a carpenter needs a tool or equipment, and we're here at 8 o'clock in the morning to get it for him.
Right.
Where many stores, you have to wait till 10 or 11 o'clock to get until.
Now you're open at 8, is that
8 o'clock eight? Every morning, yes.
Oh, why?
Which is unusual.
And that's right.
We keep open several nights a week, like Monday and Friday night. Other nights we close at 5. And we go out of our way in many instances to pick up merchandise we don't have in stock by making a long-distance phone call and expediting it for the customer, whereas many of the larger independent stores do not render this service.
Right. I noticed the other day I was in, a man was buying seed, and I was just standing there and overheard him say, I remember 45 years ago, my mother used to come in and buy seed here. And it was just an interesting passing comment like that.
Well, this is a factor. We have enough of such people that have been loyal to the store, and they're still coming here, and some of them, even their children.
Yes.
Still patronizing our store.
Yes. But I think in addition to that, though, you have a sixth sense on inventory, or you must have a vast inventory of items.
One must have a certain intuition about what your general public might possibly like. It isn't always what the buyer may like himself, but if he feels there's a market for it, as a shrewd operator, he will buy it if he feels there's an outlet for it. Too often, many store buyers may select something that appeals to them, not having their fingertips on the public pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's seasons to contend with, not to overbuy, and yet try to have sufficient stock to carry you through the season. And what you have is not obsolete the following year. And to have fresh merchandise on the shelf at all times. This is the thing one only learns through long years of operation.
And well, I was going to say, you can't read a book and come out with that.
And we find also that we take great pride in our show windows.
Yes.
We have a type window that was used many years ago. Fact is, three of them. And we keep all decorated with a great variety of seasonable merchandise in them. And we find many sales are consummated through the prospective customer viewing it in the winter, coming in and looking at and making a decision perhaps to buy it. Had it not been in the winter, he may have never been in the store.
Of course, you know, in education circles today, this is called the in thing. It's called media. It's a visual audio approach. And of course, you've anticipated this by many, many years and found that it has paid off.
Well, back in yesteryear, many stores kept merchandise in drawers to keep them dust-free. Mm-hmm. And if a customer should have an ask for a certain thing, they would go to that drawer, open it up, take it out, allow the customer to look at it and make a decision whether it's what he wants or not. Today, sales appeal is made on having as much merchandise as possible out in the open, handy for the customer to pick up, to examine, and price, and if he feels that he has need of it, a sale is consummated.
Well, I think you're fortunate you didn't try to modernize the front of the store there like a lot of places have, because this is a unique feature with your display.
Many stores did change some years ago, and we find that with passing time, they decided that they'd made an error in what they'd done.
Yes.
We anticipated that this would probably take place in many cases it has. And we find our show windows a large drawing car. In fact, mm-hmm. there's many things, seasonal things, we even put outside the window.
Mm-hmm.
And customer going by might see a power lawnmower, a garden plow, or a tool that he can pick up, look at. He's not bothered with anybody interrupting him. And if he decides he's more than interested in, then he can come in and see what we have in stock, what other models might be available. We've carried many things like rakes, hoes, shovels, wheelbarrows, factors, dung forks for farm use, name tile spades, scoop shovels, all a large line of fertilizers, Scotch grass seed, their weed killers, their insecticides and fungicides. And in today's world, we find many people take great pride in their lawn and spend
yes.
many dollars in maintaining and creating a lovely, attractive lawn. And this has been a great boon for the retailer who mm-hmm. had an ample stock.
Well.
And we also have a city trade and a farm trade. And we find that in many instances we carry, for example, livestock and extension ladders of aluminum and wood ladders for various uses, for painting barns, houses, doing interior work, and exterior.
Well, now that's interesting. You mentioned a farm trade. I thought that would have long since evaporated.
Well, the farmer, his purchases vary from what they used to in yesteryear. For he may have came in yesteryear for a gallon of oil, some rivets, buckles, curry combs, and brushes for his stock. This same man will be in, perhaps, to buy paint for his barn or for his house. He may need some spotting for the outbuildings, which we carry very extensive stock of aluminum and galvanized steel spotting. And a farmer has to be a jack of all trades, electrician, a painter, a maintenance man, and we find that he is a very good source of income for the retailer if you have what the man needs
mm-hmm.
and when he needs it. And we try to anticipate this by having it for them. We still have a mixed trade, a great deal of it is farm, a great deal is city trade. And in recent years, since the war, the youth of today makes far distant trips around the world to far parts of the country. And back in his father or grandfather's day, one made a trip to California or Florida, but there's a conversation piece for a year or 2 years later about this trip. Today, one thinks nothing of packing a case and taking off. It can be for Japan, yeah. Australia, or far parts of the world. And it seems to be very commonplace. And we have found that through carrying an extensive stack of trunks and hand luggage, that people know that we have quite a reputation on the good quality of airway luggage, Starflight luggage. We have supplied them with their travel needs, both in small leather goods and the larger leather goods. For many years, we've had the Alliance Band Boosters, a civic organization. Wherever a family has a boy or girl that's played in the band, This child upon graduation is presented with a lovely piece of star flight luggage that came from Linda Smith Hardware. The band boosters raise their own funds. It doesn't come out of school funds. And make the purchase. They have a dance and a dinner party. The children enjoy it a great deal, and they appreciate the luggage they've received. And in many instances, we find that they make additional purchases, building up a set of luggage, and when they go on to college, they'll be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, to go back a bit, you started here about what time, 1922, 23?
Around that time, I've been here. I'd say, as near as I can tell you, about 52 years. It'll soon be my 53rd year come this fall.
My goodness.
At the time, I never anticipated remaining here. I had thought of maybe spending a brief period of time and going on to other fields. Mm-hmm. I had a friend. I'd spent a year in the state police in Colorado, and I had a friend that was going on to Alaska, and he had asked me to join him. And after becoming engrossed in hardware retail business, I then changed my mind, never went back, and remained here in Alliance. This was the home of my grandparents and great-grandparents who were pioneers in this area.
Well, now, let's have their names now. Let's get this background.
I had, for example, a grandfather, James Hildebello, and an uncle, Orlando Hildebello, who was a Civil War veteran, that after the Civil War was over with, Mount Union College was putting up a new building. And both Grandpa and the uncle were stone and brick masons.
Oh, yes.
And they worked, I believe it's on the old Miller Hall.
Miller Hall, yes.
Yes. And then this uncle, later on, when he acquired a little money, bought a farm outside of Lymaville, some 112 acres, raised his family. He used to walk in every day, lay brick, work 10 to 12 hours a day, and run a 112 acre farm and raise a family. At that time, a mason would lay up 1,000 to 1,200 brick for a day's work. I've been told by contractors today that the average is about 400 brick a day.
Yes.
And if we feel we've done a hard day's work today, I wonder what Grandpa felt like at the end of his work day.
Well, I'm sure he's ready to relax on that. Well, now, what change-wise, what do you notice in Main Street when you came in? I can recall in the early 30s when I came to college here, coming down on a Saturday night, and it seemed like a county fair, you know, with all the activity.
Well, with the farm workers' work pretty well underway, that Saturday night was his shopping night when he, his wife, perhaps, and family would either come in horse and buggy or car. Some of them, they had a horse and buggy that was parked or tied down to the feed mill. And, or if he had a car, he might park on Main Street. The wife would get out, do her shopping in the various stores. The husband would meet, perhaps, with farm acquaintances. They would have lengthy discussions on the street about the weather and how the crops were doing. And all in all, that we would be open till 10 o'clock at night on Saturday night and busy every minute of that particular day. And this, with passing time, seems to have changed a great deal. That store hours are different. Many stores do not open till 10 or even noontime. Keep it open in the evenings. And this was done with the thought in mind that perhaps the wife, her husband, and the children could go shopping together in the evenings to make a decision when all the family was present. This is quite a radical departure from the old style of merchandising. And so we of the older stores have went along with it, keeping open several nights in the evening. If anybody may need something in our line, that we are here to serve them. Also, We have many customers appreciate the fact that we do open early in the morning, but they don't have to wait till late hour in the day if they're in need of something. There's many appliances that were used then that we thought was modern in yesteryear, but when we look back at them today and see the many changes and departures from the old style to the new style, it's rather humorous or laughable to see what we thought was something out of this world at that time.
Yes.
There's some things that basically remain the same. I found was a good design to make in those years, and down through the years, many things have remained identical as they were 40, 50 years ago. The only change I've noticed is a high cost of production and prevailing wage scales in shops and taxes and so forth, that the price could be 4 or 5 times what it was back in those days.
Well, now, do you think that today Linda Smith is probably the oldest existing business on Main Street?
I would say in continuous service.
Yes.
The store started, best of my recollections, about 97 years ago when Mr. Linda Smith, as a young man, lived in Hanover. His father had a harness shop there, and he decided that perhaps he might do better coming into a larger area of population, and against his friends and acquaintances' advice to do so, he did decide to come to the lines. He rented a very small wood structure frame building on Main Street, which was a dirt road at the time, and wooden boardwalks. He paid a large sum of $25 a month rent, and he, at the time when he arrived in Lyons, had approximately $75 as all his resources. After paying a month's rent, he had a sign made and hung out in front, William S. Linda Smith, harnesses made and repaired. And his reputation for his honest dealings over his passing time was recognized, and many farmers felt that by coming, even some of them even made trips from southern Ohio, even from over in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, to buy the Linda Smith harness, because he was noted for putting nothing but the best of leather and workmanship in the making of this harness. And his prices were not exorbitant, and they felt this man they could depend upon. His word was his bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so often today, people say one thing and mean another.
Yes.
We notice this in the world today, especially in the diplomatic world and international politics.
So often.
Things are unpredictable and undependable.
Yes.
For this man, through his lifetime, was honored and respected as a law-abiding citizen. Always had a helping hand and advice for anybody he had time, didn't matter how busy he was, to stop and have a friendly chat with them, give them advice if they had asked for it, and do whatever he could, render whatever service he could. And with his advance in years, his son Stuart came into the business and eventually took over the operation and the control of it. And from time to time, we've had different people come and go in the store, that is, employees. Some went on to other fields, some were students that went back to college to take up a profession, some that never went to college took up perhaps a trade in the shop, some went to farming. But with the passing years, we've had many employees that come and have left for different fields.
Now, when he started out with harness and leather work, when did he get into the hardware? When did he branch out? Do you
know?
Well,
his son seen if one was to expand and have a greater source of income, that you could not make a large income off of merely manufacturing harness and repairing harness. It was a livelihood, but one could never build up any reserves, financial reserves, to expand the business in so doing. And the first additive to the business, as I recall right, was hand luggage, such as suitcases, traveling bags, and looking back at what we sold them and what is made today. Today, one must have name brands, you must have extensive line of colors and sizes to please everybody. In those days, a case was either genuine leather, it was imitation. It was either black or brown, and that was it. And no question was asked whether it was advertised in the paper, magazine, television, or radio, which didn't exist at that time, right? But it was sold on the reputation of the store handling it. That Mr. Linda Smith advised his customer that that was a good suitcase, it was durable, would do what they expected to do, his word was good enough. And then, with passing time, we had many people that asked for, wanted to know if we didn't have paints. So we added the National Lead Company's Dutch Boy brand of paints to our store stock, and with passing time, enlarged upon them, and the business grew into a place to where we now today have perhaps the largest stock of paints in the city of Alliance.
I didn't realize that you had that extensive.
We have in our stock room, which is perhaps 100 foot long of shelf after shelf of Dutch Boy paints, enamels, varnishes, thinners, and whatnot, which the average customer don't see. Our store, being an old-fashioned building, is rather narrow, three stories high with a basement. And unlike the new modern buildings, we can't put everything out in full view on the first floor. But we do carry tremendous stock involving $12,000 to $15,000 worth of paint. And likewise, a very extensive stock of hand luggage of some of the very popular named brands that are sold nationally all over the United States. The fact is, several years ago, we computed figures and we sold around $28,000 worth of attaché cases, trunks, hand luggage, gold books, key cases, briefcases, and allied merchandise connected with the merchandise.
Well, now, when you came here over 50 years ago, what percent was still leather, harness, and what percent was hardware by that time?
Well, I would say at the time, perhaps two-thirds of our business was more or less with saddles, bridles, harness for work, and harness for carriage horses, horse blankets, blanket sheets, and old things that a farmer might use, like lanterns for in the barn, hay forks, all allied merchandise was used more or less on the farm. And then in around 1910 to 1911, the Linda Smith family had conserved on their funds, they had prospered, and they bought a lot where the old building was standing or located. And they contracted with the late Mr. Scott, who was the father of Walter Scott, a retired building contractor, to put up a three-story brick building. And after several years of construction work, the building was finished and the new quarters were occupied by the harness shop. And now we had ample room to enlarge. We had showcases built and wall shelving, and we could go into housewares, adding extensive line of pots and pans and cooking utensils. Electrical appliances were coming more and more into the band, such as toasters, waffle irons, electric smoothing irons for household use, electrical portable heaters, which we added as we found demand for and built out our lines. We also added several other lines of paint that we had, perhaps the most complete line of paints and enamels of any store in the city of Alliance. And then we found that many people were building homes, needed builder's hardware, lock sets for the doors, hardware for the windows, varnishes and enamels, further floors and woodwork and the walls, and the house had to be spotted, so we put in a very large line of spotting. And for the contractor or the man who might do the work himself in his spare time could come in here and it'd be available to him. Then we find that with raise in income and more surplus money in family circles, that more gifts were bought for various occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, weddings, and many, especially women who had such occasion arising, would come downtown and shop the stores to pick out perhaps a toaster, an iron, maybe a set of cookware, whatever they thought, or a clock for in the kitchen or living room that might make a presentable, wanted gift for in the home for the newlyweds. And we find that to this day, gift merchandise is quite an item. Mm-hmm. We have enduring, lasting gifts. There's many things that we carry and anyone could use in their home, such as various line of clothes hampers that a bride could use in her new home. Mm-hmm. We have, as I've stated, many electrical appliances, hand mixers, electric can openers. The thing goes on endlessly that any woman would be proud to possess one of these things and have need for it in her home.
So the original Mr. Linsmith would be quite surprised if he could walk into your store today.
Yes, he would. There have been many changes since the decease of the founder, William S. Linsmith. And of course, the son, being a younger man, used to make trips several times a year to New York City, visiting the importers in New York, buying unusual merchandise that you did not find on the markets that were available back in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Importers that had merchandise from all over the world, from the Far East, European and Asiatic countries. And he took great pride in having the unusual thing, whether it be glass and stemware from Ireland, or Czechoslovakia, or dishware, or silverware, whatever it might be, that he had something unusual the average Georgian had. And we unfortunately have found since his death that we don't have the time for one of us to make these trips that he made in former years going down to New York City. We depend upon what is available to us through the jobbers here in the state of Ohio.
Now, I notice you list this is a Century Hardware store. Do you want to explain what this association
is?
Well,
this association is a brainchild of the Worthington Hardware, and over the years it has grown extensively until it's coast to coast. We have distributors in California that are hardware jobbers, that are Century dealers. In the state of Ohio, the Worthington Hardware, whom we have dealt with for perhaps, I'd say, 80 to 85 years we've done business with, are the parent of the Century Group here in the state of Ohio. We became a member of them back perhaps 12, 15 years ago.
Now, would you say this is a sort of a cooperative grouping of independent hardware merchants? Is this what it
yes,
is?
Yes. In other words, they will take and contract with large firms to produce, whether it's a wheelbarrow, a garbage can, a par lawnmower, to produce so many thousand units at a much lower figure than we as independent dealers could ever hope to find or supply. And it supplies us with a Century piece of merchandise that we can compete successfully with even large chain stores in this operation. It makes us far more competitive.
Yes, you were mentioning about Mr. Linsmith buying from suppliers in New York, and I thought maybe this took up some of the slack on that through this outlet.
Yes, we We have found, too, that many items that were once much in demand with changing times cease to exist. Why, we do not know, but for example, I'll cite that many years ago we bought an extensive line of lady silk umbrellas, a gorgeous display of umbrellas, some of them hand-painted with beautiful handles to them. Of course, I attribute the lack of demand for these greatly to the increase of automobiles on the highway. And people park near their store. If it's raining, actually, they don't need an umbrella. It's a few steps from the car to the store and back again. Where it used to be that many a person walked from their home downtown, and if it looked like rain, my lady would bring her nice purse all with her. And things of this have kind of vanished along with many other things. Of course, there have been new modern things that have supplemented the store's income and taken their place.
Right. Well, now, you mentioned earlier you were going to go to Alliance and got called in for an interview by Mr. Lindesmith. Did you ever get to Alliance? To Alaska, I mean.
I never got to Alaska. However, Mr. Lindesmith was fortunate enough, and he made several trips in his time. That's W. Stuart Lindesmith. In his time, taking his family with him. Fact is, when the new Alaskan Highway was opened up, he purchased a new car, bought an extra set of tires, and took along emergency supplies and made the trip over the new Alaskan Highway to Alaska and back again. And the trip was a novel, unusual trip. The whole family enjoyed it a great deal. Sometime in the future, if my health remains, I may sometimes get to see this land that I once planned to make in past bygone years.
So it's with a 50-plus year interruption, maybe you'll make it. Instead of going west, as Horace Greeley used to say, you'll go to the northwest on that.
I found the year I spent in Colorado, though, had great rewards. I met a new type of people of ranchers and mountaineers and homesteaders. The country was rather a rugged country at the time. State and highways at that time was like a third-rate road here in Ohio. They didn't have to have speed trials because no one could travel over a mountain road at a high rate of speed. While in the state police, our mode of transportation in winter was oftentimes snowshoes. We had a Harley-Davidson motorcycle with a sidecar like they used in World War I. We had a Ford touring car, and many of our trips took us in far remote regions, back into the mountains to homesteads. During that period of time, the country was dry, there was prohibition existed. There were moonshiners that we'd have to raid stills, and so forth.
Well, that would be a real exciting experience to a change of life. From
some of our trips were on horseback, and you couldn't get over rough mountain roads on a motorcycle or sidecar, and it was quite a rewarding experience of the year I spent there.
That would be. What do you think is the biggest change on Main Street as you think back real quickly over 50 years ago?
Well, I would say that with the passing time, I feel that even though we have new stores like on our Route 62 south of town, with a new highway added, it makes Alliance more available and accessible to tourists from out of town and travelers. And with the new viaduct that has been created, opening up Main Street to Pearson and a direct route to Sebring and to Youngstown, that when this is completed, many people have tried to predict that the main streets of the downtown and towns like Alliance and other towns are a has-been. We, merchants down here, feel otherwise. We feel that there's a need for the stores existing, the cut-rate stores wherever they're at, and the new stores plus the older stores of downtown Alliance.
Well,
we have many bargains to offer, the same as they have. to attract people here. We have merchandise at all times I do not find and cannot find in these new modern stores. We feel that we're a needed part of the community.
Well, apparently some of that optimism or exuberance that you picked up in Colorado, you've managed to keep here over 50 years in your business. You still look forward with as much keenness as you were when a young man starting in.
I think there's great potentials in the world today for people that are willing to perhaps recognize them, get a proper, secure a proper education. There's great new fields that are opening on the horizon today.